You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Back through that territory, or with their children through that territory, they would say, well, what do these stones mean? And the adults would say, well, let me tell you, son, why we set these stones up. Here's what that means. Here's what we're remembering and commemorating, right? They didn't have post-it notes back then. Siri didn't remind them. They kind of just did different things there. But these were kind of big things they wanted to remember. And that's what we're looking at, kind of big truths that Bible characters wanted us to remember or wanted to remember. And we're applying it, since we're talking about remembering things, we're talking about mental warfare and dealing with the battle that we face on a daily basis that happens in between our ears, right up here. And so here's the first blank for you there. We're going to look at a reminder tonight, a reminder of precepts. What's a precept? It's a principle or a command of God's word. Now, we did look at things to remember in the past. We saw, we remember God's promises was one of them that we remembered, that there were some stones set up for that. We did remember the plague. Remember the plague from the book of Leviticus that they had to clean out of the house. And we had another one back a couple weeks ago. But tonight is a reminder of precepts. Here's the next blank I want you to write in here, because this is kind of what we always deal with, is this. What you choose to think about, that's the word there, what you choose to think about, what you choose to notice, and what you choose to remember, boy, that sure plays a big role in the mental battles that you face. What are you noticing? What are you looking at? What are you remembering? And so we're going to take this thought here and look at Deuteronomy 27. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will jump right into this chapter. Father, we thank you so much for church tonight. Thank you for the time of prayer. Lots of people gathered together tonight, lifting up one another in prayer to you. Lord, that is a biblical thing. It's a beautiful thing, and I think it's something that gives you honor and glory. And I thank you for that tonight. We've had some singing. We've had some fellowship. We've broken some bread and eaten some things tonight. But now, Lord, we need the dinner here tonight of the Word of God. So, Holy Spirit, apply this to our lives tonight. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Deuteronomy 27:1, and Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster, and shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over. So again, this is a future thing. He's saying when you do finally get to Canaan land and you get to Jordan, when you get to the land that God has promised, then you're going to do this, okay? That thou mayest, verse 3 at the middle there, thou mayest go into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore, it shall be when ye be gone over Jordan, over the river, into Canaan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt offer peace offerings, and thou shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. So they're going to build these walls, they're going to build these rocks, it's going to have the inscription of all the law of God. So just think, if you had to write down all of the law, the 613 commands that were given, and that's what they were going to do. They were going to build an altar there. On the altar, they were not going to use any type of tools or instruments to build it. It was just going to be whole stones there. And this was to be done as stones of remembrance when they get to the promised land. To remind them of what? To remind them of God's law. And so that's tonight what we're seeing here with remembering God's precepts, God's law, God's commands. That's what we're looking at tonight, remembering those things. We're going to answer two questions tonight And these are questions that I asked and wrote down, but I'm going to answer these two questions. Why is it important that they wrote down God's precepts? And then secondly, what is the significance of Mount Ebal? And so we'll get to both of those. First of all, why was it important for them to write down and chronicle all of these commandments on stones when they passed over? Let me give you a couple reasons I believe. First of all, because of the purpose of knowing the law. The purpose is the word in the blank there. I love these fill-in-the-blank sheets because I can see right when I'm starting to lose some people to the, I'm very tired, the coffee hasn't kicked in. Then, oh, fill-in-the-blank, there we go. And then you're back. I love it. I'm going to do these every message now. All right, but for the purpose of knowing the law, simply put, they needed to know what to do. And so God says, when you cross over, you know, you got the commandments, Moses, but those are the Ten Commandments. But write on these stones all of the law. And so how long would it take for them to transcribe all of Deuteronomy on the law or on the stones, or basically something like that? All of those laws. So it'd be a big thing, but that's because they needed to know what God expected of them. Now, I'm thankful that when I got my Bible, I did not have to write it out by hand. Aren't you? I think it's 1,169 chapters or something like that. I'm very thankful that it wasn't like, hey, copy this down. But that's what they were doing here. Now, another reason, think of this. Romans is on your sheet there. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Amen and amen to that. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, we don't even know what right and wrong is unless God had given us the law. And that's what Paul said in Romans 7. He said, I wouldn't even know what envying was or what coveting was had not I read, don't covet. So the law gives us the knowledge of what is right and wrong, what God expects and what God expects us not to do. And so when they're writing that law down, man, they were fulfilling that purpose of it. But secondly, it was for the punishment of not obeying the law. Write it down so that you can remember what it costs you if you don't obey. So not only know what to do, but they needed to know what would happen if they didn't obey. We do this with kids. We do this with kids or students. If you do that again, I will, and then fill in the blank for whatever it is. It drives me nuts sometimes. I see people, I think we're in the airport or something, and you know, the parent literally was going, I'm going to count to three. And you know, the kid's thinking, well, what are you going to do when you get to three? Because that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I hope he gets to three. And he's like, one. I don't know if you heard this. The guy was doing it. Two. Two and a half. And I was just like, you know, over there. Like the kid, who's running this? But anyway, but we do this kind of thing. Like, you know, we're going to tell you what the punishment is so you don't do that. When we were in London, and you say, Pastor, you're going to talk about this trip a lot? Yes! I do personal illustrations all the time, so I've got loads of stories from Ireland, Scotland, England, and a day in Paris, okay? Well, I am ready to go, and they're all going to be the same illustration. We're going on the tube in underground London. And underground London, that sounds like a scary place, but it kind of was. But you've heard the thing before, mind the gap. Mind the gap. That's all you ever hear, mind the gap. Now, they don't need to tell me why, because there were some trains that we were stepping on, and we're looking down thinking, okay, I know what happens if I don't mind the gap. We can see what happens. There will be punishment, there will be penalty if you don't mind the gap. But that was one of the reasons here of them writing that down. We're all getting somewhere with all this, so stay with me. Plus, in the law, there was a lot of conditional promises. What's a conditional promise? If you do this, I will do this. And that's what the Lord said a lot of times. If you'll, you know, he told the kings in the book of Kings so many times, he said, if you'll obey the law, then I will let there be a king from your line be on the throne forever. If you'll obey. So that's a conditional promise. But they're writing that down for the purpose of, first of all, they got to know the law. But secondly, they got to understand what happens if they don't obey the law. But for the third reason is for the posterity of the people. The posterity, the future generations. The future generations need to know the law. They need to know the truth. And that's what setting up of those stones did. They not only helped the ones writing it, but they helped the ones coming after them. Now, by the way, think of this, because Moses here is writing this that God gave him, and he says, when you get into the land, do this. But you know what? Moses never made it into the land. So did they go through with this? Did they set up these stones and altars when they got to Canaan? Do we even know if they did? Yes, we do. Go to Joshua chapter, hold your place here, go to Joshua chapter 8, please. The next book of the Bible, Joshua chapter 8. Look there for just a moment, Joshua 8 verse 30. Joshua 8 verse 30. The Bible says then in Joshua 8 verse 30, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lifted up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. So they did. They did do it, but Moses wasn't there. They did do it, but for the people that came after Moses, they would be able to see that. And I'm glad the law was written down for the people to have it. That's going to come into play in just a minute when we get to the point of all this, which we're getting to. So the first part here is simply remember what? Remember to obey. If I could summarize the message tonight, it would be those words. Remember to obey. That's what he's saying with writing down these precepts. Remember the blessings of obedience and the consequences of disobedience. Remember that, okay? Now, look at Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 4. It says again there that they were going to be commanded to build in Mount Ebal. The altar was going to be, the stones were going to be set up in Mount Ebal. What is significant about Mount Ebal? Now look at, if you would, at Deuteronomy chapter 27, right where we are. Let's just continue reading about five or six verses. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, or listen, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, now watch these verses. These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan. Simeon, the tribe of Simeon, the tribe of Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Joseph, and Benjamin. Those were the sons of Leah and Rachel. And these shall stand upon the Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Some of those were Leah's kids, the others were Bilhah and Zilpah's kids. And the Levites shall speak and say to all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh it. And they go through and list, if you'll look at the first word of every verse or the rest of the chapter, is cursed. Cursed is this, cursed is that. Well, what's going on here? I have a picture that we're going to show on the screen here. And I gave this to the sound people so late because I totally forgot. And they got it up and they are awesome. Okay, this is an actual picture of Israel, okay? This is not Photoshop. Well, okay, the words are Photoshop. They don't really have those over the mountains, okay? And maybe just needed to make sure everyone knew that. But Mount Gerizim, you'll see, is over on the left. And Mount Ebal is on the right. What's in the middle? The valley of Shechem. There's a valley in the middle. So Gerizim on one side, Ebal on one side, the valley in the middle. Mount Gerizim, let's just keep that up for a second. But I guess we have other blanks here, but we can come back to it hopefully, so have that ready. Mount Gerizim was the mount, if you'll write this in, of blessings. Mount Gerizim was the mount of blessings. Mount Ebal was the mount of cursings. Mount Gerizim was the mount of blessings. Mount Ebal was the mount of cursings. So if we could show that picture again, if it's possible to do that. What was happening here is they had half of the tribes stand over on Mount Gerizim, and they had the other half stand over on Ebal. And as they would read the blessings of the law, And Mount Gerizim would have that and read that. And then the cursings of the law would be read from Mount Ebal. And the people are in the middle. And we don't know too much about acoustics nowadays because we have microphone systems and all that. But this would have been a natural amphitheater where not only could the people in the middle hear everybody on the sides, but the people on the sides could hear the people in the middle. And so everybody was kind of hearing what is going on here. So they would read the blessings on Mount Gerizim and the curses for not obeying on Mount Ebal. Now on your sheet here, why were the stones and the altar placed upon Ebal, the Mount of Cursing? Why not put it on the Mount of Blessings, right? The law and all of that. But they put it on Ebal. Why would they do that? I think there's some significance here. First of all, the law has a curse. The law has a curse. Take your Bible. I know we're going our Bibles here tonight. Galatians chapter 3. Go quickly. That's not quick enough. Faster. Galatians chapter 3 in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 3. I want to show you just a few verses here, and then we're going to hit a thought, and hopefully it's a thought that encourages you and challenges you, and we'll be out of here in just a few minutes here. Look, if you would, at Galatians chapter 3. Notice verse 10. The Bible says in Galatians 3:10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." You know what the law said? The law said, obey perfectly or die. That was the law. Obey perfectly or die. And nobody could. And one of the purposes of the law in Galatians is to show you that you cannot obey it, that you need help to overcome the law. And so there's a curse tied to it because you can't obey it. But write this in, it is only by a sacrifice of blood that we can be saved from the curse of the law. We're still in Galatians 3. You just read verse 10. Look at verse 11. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God." There's a great verse for you can't get saved by works. "It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law." Amen and amen to that. "Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So that sacrifice enabled us to be rid of the curse of the law because Christ took the curse. But thirdly, on your sheet here, why were there stones upon Ebal? Notice that the altar was made to be built with no tools. This is all symbolism here. In other words, think of this, no human effort was to be associated with the sacrifice. No human effort. Verse 11 says that no man is justified in the law in the sight of God. In other words, no human work can save a person from the curse of the law. No, we know the Bible. That we're not saved by works. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is only by faith in Jesus Christ. But then I also see that the altar was upon Ebal because those living under the curse of the law needed one. They needed an altar. So it's on Ebal there. But what does all this mean? Okay, there is some symbolism there. And there was a reason why the altar and the words were upon Ebal. And those that are straying, those that are under the curse of the law, they need an altar. they need a place to have their sins paid for. I want you to show, if you could, sound people, that picture one more time, if you could. Because here's what we're getting to. Notice, Mount Gerizim, six tribes on that side. Mount Ebal, six tribes on that side. Where were the people? The people were in the valley in the middle. They were between two paths. They were between two decisions. They were in the valley of decision, so to speak. What am I saying? It's representing the blessings on Gerizim, the blessings of obeying God, the curses associated when you don't obey God, and all the people are in the middle with the choice of which way they're going to go, with the choice of what they're going to do. All of this, I want you to write this down, is a visual reminder of your personal responsibility to obey the law of God. Your personal responsibility to obey the law of God. You can see the blessings. You can hear them sounding out from Mount Gerizim. You can see the curses and hear them sounding out from Mount Ebal. And there we are in the middle, and we have a decision to make. And that's why Moses said, choose you. Choose to serve God. You're right in the middle. Make the decision. Serve the Lord. I've set before you this day blessings and cursings. Choose life, Moses said. Choose life. And you have that same, we're not deciding tonight whether we're saved or not. If you trusted Christ as Savior, it's not a decision about will you get saved or will you be lost forever. If you've already made that decision, you still have a decision every day of your life to make. Are you going to follow the Word of God or not? Are you going to be responsible and live with the blessings that are associated with following God? Or are you going to live with the curses that come from disobeying God? Not curses like, you know, a witch casting a hex over people. Consequences. The consequences. That's the main thought here to get across is that you are personally responsible for what you do with God's precepts. Personally. Oh, no. I know. When I stand before God, I'm going to blame. No, you're not. The devil made me. No, he didn't. You know, the book of Job, if you read the book of Job, so much of Job's answer, so much of what Job said in there is basically this. I wish this was a court of law where I could stand before God and present my case. Because he was, in his mind, he had done nothing wrong. And really, he was a righteous man. But he didn't get it. I'm telling you tonight, this is something that we've got to understand that we are personally responsible ourselves. Now in verse 8, I won't have you turn back there for sake of time. I only have about 8 minutes left. He said in verse 8, when they wrote the commands, he said to write them plainly. Plainly. To write the law plainly. That write this in. This wasn't symbolic, it was practical. He didn't have them write down the commands just to be some symbolic thing that they did on Mount Ebal. He was doing it because it was a practical thing so that people could go read it and people could see the law of God and people could know what it says and people had an opportunity to obey. They couldn't live by an excuse of, well, I don't even have a copy. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. It's right there. Walk over to Ebal and read it again. It was written there. Again, why? They had a responsibility. They had a responsibility to obey it. Would you write this in? You have a personal responsibility to read God's word, know God's commands, and obey them. Boy, this is simple tonight. This is junior church stuff, but we need to hear it. I didn't come back from overseas mad. This is just the message that I already had planned, all right? I guess I just assumed I'd be mad. No, But we need to hear this. I mean, warnings are a great thing to hear. I'm glad that I've received some warnings in my life that I didn't do something that would have regretted. You have a personal responsibility to read God's word. Nobody else can read the Bible for you. I read my Bible every day, but I can't read it for you. You have to read it. You have to know God's commands yourself. I don't need to know God's commands. My Sunday school teacher knows God's commands. That's not good enough. You have a responsibility. God's not looking at your Sunday school teacher for what you do. He's looking at you. And you have a responsibility to obey them. We do this with kids, right? We expect our kids to know what our rules are. We've told them the rules. You remember the rules, and now you obey the rules. If you don't obey the rules, there's consequences for not obeying the rules. We expect God to be different? I don't think so. Well, my pastor never preached on that. That doesn't work. You know why? You have your own copy, don't you? You do. I know you do. And if not, we'll give you one. And they're free on your phone, by the way. But I'll tell you something. We all have our own copy of the law. We don't need it written down somewhere. We have it, but we still got to obey it. We still got to do what the law says, there's a responsibility. Now, you know what your reminder is of the blessings of obedience and the consequences of disobedience? I need a reminder, Pastor, of what it is to live for God and the blessings of obedience, and I need a reminder of the consequences of not obeying. I need that reminder, and you don't need to set up stones in your house. You don't need to have it cross-stitched on a pillow that you got from Hobby Lobby. You don't need all of that. You say, why? All you have to do is every single morning pick up your copy of the precious Word of God and read that, and that'll be the only reminder that you need, because you'll be reading it right there. Pastor, are you against t-shirts with Bible verses or plaques? And I'm not against them. You know, I think it's good. Write the Bible all over your house. Get it all over your clothing. Wear a Bible verse on your t-shirt. Oh, that's great. But the only reminder that you need of living for God and the consequence of disobedience, just read your Bible every day. Just get into the Word of God. Well, Pastor, how does this apply to our mental warfare? It applies in this, that disobedience brings all kinds of punishment. Some physical, some mental. And disobedience can bring those battles right to you. You've already given in. Write this in: disobedience leaves scars on the body and on the mind. Who in here tonight does not have memories that you wish you did not have? Who in here tonight has memories of things you've done that you wish you didn't have? Or things that you wish you never had done? Right, we all do. What happened? Scar. I have a disobedience scar. I'm not going to show it to you tonight because it's right here. But I call it a disobedient scar because I got it because I disobeyed when I was four or five years old. And I still have it. I'm almost 40. But we were living in Texarkana, Texas-Arkansas border. And we had a clothesline. I always laugh because kids have no idea what a clothesline is. But a big T, metal T that's stuck in the ground, letter T. And had wires, and you hang stuff on it to dry. You guys know I'm talking about, you older folks in here. And, to me, I just thought it'd be so cool to hang on them and swing on them, because I saw my brother, who's 5 years older, he was doing it. And so we set up a chair, a lawn chair. and I've told this story many times, but I was like, I want to do it. And my mom said, no. What a mean lady. Just so, so mean. But I'm just kidding. But she said, no. Well, she left. And the chair was there, and the bar was there, and I was like, I'm an NBA star at 4 years old or whatever. And so I ran up and jumped on the chair and grabbed it and swung back. And when I swung forward, my legs kicked the chair over, and the legs were sticking up in the air. And my weak, feeble little arms could not hold me very long. And all I remember is dropping and feeling a great pressure in my chest as one of the legs just stabbed into me. And this was one of the few times in Arkansas that I probably was ever wearing a t-shirt, because when in the South, we just didn't do that. But I remember I had a white t-shirt on, and I hit the chair, and I landed in the grass. And I looked down, and just blood. I just saw the blood spreading, because it just harpooned me right in the chest. And of course, my mom ran out and spanked me. No, she didn't, but ran out and was like, what happened? And after that, I've got a gun-shaped scar for 35 years now as a visual reminder of the consequences of disobedience. That's in our warfare that we face mentally. When we're giving in and disobeying, it has an effect on our mental life too. There's regrets, there's a lack of peace. There's a lack of peace. There's more fear, more anxiety, and all of that. But obedience feels good. Obedience brings God's blessings. Obedience brings peace of God in your life. To be clear, let me just say this as I close. You don't have to obey to be accepted of God or be loved by God. God loves you no matter what. We're not talking about earning God's love. God loves you, and if you've accepted Christ as Savior, He's accepted you. But as a loving Heavenly Father, write this in, He is still looking for obedience from His children. So tonight, are you living on Gerizim? You living on the blessings of obeying God that come with living for God? Are you living there, or are you living on Ebal? where you're disobeying God and you're seeing some consequences. And I would say to you, if you're living on Ebal, there's an altar for you. God put it there. And there's an altar for you tonight to get right and transfer from one mountain to the other. But you're going to decide that this week. You'll decide which way you go, which decision you make. Write this in, last blank. Are you blaming somebody else for your disobedience? Well, if they did this and, you know, and no, it, you can't blame other people for what you do. It's up to you. Are you using your copy of God's word every day? Simple message. Take it home with you. Remember this week to obey. Remember God's precepts. What a blessing it is. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the godly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth and see the scornful. There is a blessed way to live. And it's just simply by following God's commands. He says that his commands are not grievous. They're not burdensome. Just live for the Lord. Live for God, and you'll have the blessings. But if you don't, remember that there will be consequences.